read from Hosea chapter 14. Thank you so much for the kind gift you've given to my wife. And I appreciate my wife. And she goes with me everywhere I go. And she believes, if you can believe this, she believes that her ministry that God has given to her is me. And I would not be who I am, nor would I be able to do what I do if it were not for God putting it in her heart to make me her ministry.
Amen.
And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11 that the man was not made for the woman, but the woman was made for the man. I knew I wasn't going to get a lot of amen this time. But when God created Eve, she created him to be a helper to Adam. What that means is Adam could only become all that God wanted him to be by Eve helping him to get there.
Amen.
Ladies, it'll be a great day in your life. It'll be a real turning point in your life when you see that your main ministry is not whatever job you work or income you produce or whatever it is you do outside of your home. It's going to be a great day in your life when you realize that the man God has given to you is your main ministry. He's your main work, even more important than your children, because they're never going to become. Ladies, I didn't mean to preach on any of this. If you haven't given my wife, you just thank the gift you gave to my wife. Ladies, your kids are never going to know and love God until you learn how to love your husband more than you love them.
Amen.
Until you teach them through your obedience and submission to your husband, you will teach your children not only to submit and obey to you and their father, but also how to submit and obey the Lord.
Amen.
I appreciate my wife modeling that, supporting me, submitting to me, loving me, serving me. In no way do I take that for granted or take advantage of her or speak down to her or think that she's less than me. I appreciate her accepting her God-given, created, commanded role. And I encourage all of you ladies to do that. The greatest thing you'll ever do is have your husband become all that God wants him to be.
Amen.
And raise your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you become a doctor or a lawyer, it still won't be as great as what God could do through you in your home with your husband and children. So thank you so much.
Amen.
On to Hosea chapter 14. That sermon is for free. No extra offering for that tonight. Hosea chapter 14, verse 4. God says, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from them. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread and his beauty shall be as the olive tree and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return, they shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. The seed thereof shall be as the wine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree, from me as thy fruit plant. I'll stop with the reading there tonight, and you notice verse 7 uses the word revive. We have already seen on Monday night and last night that the word revive is also used back in chapter 6. 6 and 14, God makes a promise of spiritual revival to his people. And both times that he makes this promise of spiritual revival, he does so by using the images of the weather. He uses the agricultural image of the ground and the soil and the field, the farm, the garden, and how that when his people sin against him, they get hard and they get dry and they get barren and they get unfruitful and unproductive, and they need a revival. They need a revival. They need God to revive, as we have read about tonight, their lilies and their green fir trees and their olive trees and their vineyards and their corn. And this is not just talking about their natural crops. This is talking about the fruit in their heart, the fruit in their life, the fruit of the Spirit. They need a revival. They will not have this revival without God sending the necessary weather to produce fruit, to produce a harvest in their lives. And so when he talks about revival in chapter 6, 13 and 14, he talks about the wind of revival. And God says that he will come to them as the wind. When he comes as the wind, that they will revive. And so on Monday night, we looked at this weather for revival and this picture of the wind of revival. And we call that the dry patch of revival. The wind in Hosea is negative. It's that negative wind of the Spirit. The contrary winds of the Spirit that blow out of the east in our life to dry up our pride, to dry up our strength, to dry up our own devices and resources and get us to look to the Lord and feel our desperate need of Him.
Amen.
So we saw if there are contrary winds blowing in your life, contrary winds in your family or your finances, your health or relationships, if there are contrary winds, that is the wind of the Spirit in your life seeking to dry you out, And to dry up your self-sufficiency to get you to look to the Lord. Last night in chapter 6, we looked at this weather for revival in the image of the rain. God says, I'll come unto you as the rain, and you will revive. And so we talked about the downpour of revival. Now the rain is a picture of God and a picture of revival and God rending the heavens and coming down like rain upon His dry and thirsty people. Now if you paid attention tonight, here in chapter number 14, verse number 4 through 8, the Lord uses another picture from this image of the weather, and the picture that He uses when He makes reference to the revival He will send in chapter 14 is the image of the dew. Did you notice that? Let's look at it again tonight. Hosea chapter number 14. And let's notice the exact wording that the Lord uses in verse 5 where He says, I will be as the dew unto Israel, and he shall grow. I will be as the dew, and he shall grow. Verse 7 says that they will return and they will revive as the corn. Why? How? Because God will be as the dew unto them. So we have talked about the wind and the dry patch of revival. We talked about the rain and the downpour of revival. Tonight let's talk about the dew and what I'll call the dew point of revival. The dew point of revival. Why would God liken His work in revival to being like the dew, or God coming unto us as the dew? I want you to notice in verse 5 that the Lord doesn't just say that He will send dew, but God says He Himself will come unto them as the dew. In other words, it is obvious from the passage that God is using the dew as a picture of Himself. God is using the dew as an illustration of not only His person, but also His work in revival. God is like the dew. And so if I want to learn something about God tonight, and I don't know if you do or not, but I want to learn something about God tonight.
Amen.
You know, that is why you come to church, to learn something about God.
Amen. Amen.
He said, if you want to know something about me and my work in revival, look at the dew, because I'm going to come as the dew and revive you like corn. And so I want you to see three things from our passage tonight about this dew of a revival. We not only need the wind and the rain, we need the dew of the Lord. We need God to come to us as the dew. What does that mean? Number one, I want you to see tonight that when God refers to Himself as coming like the dew, that this speaks to us about the production of the dew that is continual. Number one, the production of the dew that is conditional. And so I want you to think with me about how dew is produced. I mean, how does that happen? Well, in order for dew to be produced, its production is conditional upon the warm air that the sun produces on the earth that raises the temperature to the level that you have heard your local weatherman call the dew point. Now, you probably watch the weather on the evening news around here, I'm assuming. And you probably watch the weather to see what the temperature is going to be today or tomorrow. And if you watch the weather to see what the chances of rain are, and then you'll make your plans around that. But most of you don't watch the weather to learn what the dew point is. But if you notice all of your life when your weatherman gives the weather forecast every morning and every night, he always tells you what the dew point is. Do you care about that? I mean, is that why you watch the news? Does that mean anything to you at all? It must be important. He tells you every day what the dew point is. The dew point is important because the dew point is the conditions that must be in place in the atmosphere in order for dew to form, in order for dew to be produced on the earth. Okay? So here's how dew is produced. Here is its production tonight. The sun comes out during the day. It warms up the air in the atmosphere, and it also warms up the surface of the ground. But when the sun goes down, the warm air stays in the atmosphere, but the ground begins to cool very rapidly because it only warms on the surface. The ground never warms to any depth, just surface level warming. And so after the sun sets, the warm air remains in the atmosphere, and immediately the surface of the ground begins to cool. And as the warm air in the atmosphere hovers over the cooling ground, that warm air on the cold ground gets to that dew point where the little droplets of water begin to warm and wet that cold, cooling ground. That is how dew is produced. So I want you to see tonight when God says, I'm going to come to you as the dew, you ain't going to understand what God is talking about and what that will teach you about God and revival unless you understand that God's dew in our life only forms when there is a warm air in the atmosphere that's hovering, that's blowing on top of a cold and cool ground. That's how dew is formed. Yes, if you ever notice this time of year, how many of you have yard dogs? You got dogs in your yard. Any of y'all around here? You ever notice this time of year, and especially all through the summer and fall, your dog is always digging in the yard? You ever notice that? That aggravate any of you, roving around your fire bed, you know, that dog, you know, you ever wondered why your dog is always digging a hole and then laying in that hole, and then the next day he digs that hole out a little more and he lays in that hole, and you think, this dude, did you know your dog understand more about nature, creation, and the weather than you do? You know why your dog's always, you know why he's always digging in your yard? Because he knows if he'll dig away just an inch of soil, that there's cool ground that he can lay in right underneath the soil.
Amen. Right.
So the next day, he knows just an inch or two down. It's there. It's God put air conditioning down there in that ground for that dog, and he knows it. And so he'll dig away because he knows that the ground only warms on the surface, but it's cold beneath. And that's how the dew forms, warm air over cold ground. How do you think that speaks to us about God coming to us like the dew? Brother Donnie, how is that like God, and how is that like us and our need for God to dew our life, to do something in me?
Amen.
Well, it doesn't take a rocket scientist tonight to figure out that we are the ground. In fact, if you read your Bible over and over in the Old and New Testament, and over in the parables of Jesus Christ, He is constantly likening our soul, likening our hearts to soil, to ground. He constantly likens the Word of God to seed, and the preacher of the Word to being like a sower who is sowing seed. And where is the Word sowed? Where does the sower preach? He preaches into the ground. He preaches into the soil of our soul tonight. This is a common image in the Bible. Our heart is like ground.
Amen. Amen.
Our soul is like soil tonight. We are the ground, and God is the dew. And what does the ground teach? It teaches me tonight that my heart, my soul, gets very cold and very dry very quick tonight.
Yes, sir.
And I need the warm air of the Holy Spirit hovering and blowing in my life to produce that dew, to warm me and to wet me with the dew of the Lord.
Amen.
Are you honest enough tonight? And I know some people are not. I preach to people every night of my life that are stuck on themselves. I preach to people every night of my life that think, you know, they're more filled with the Holy Ghost than everybody else, and they know more about God than everybody else, and they know more. You know, I preach to people every night of my life sitting in church thinking they're smarter than everybody else, they're closer to God than everybody else. I understand that. But let me ask you a question. Are you honest enough and humble enough to admit that your heart gets cold and it gets dry very quickly?
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Your soul gets cold and it gets dry very quickly.
Yes, sir.
Now, I appreciate Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and Wednesday evening services and revival services. We need services just like this tonight. You know why? Because we need the warm air of the Spirit blowing over the cold ground of our hearts to warm us up and to wet us up with His heat.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
And don't you like it? I know I do. I can't stand that wet noodle preaching. I can't stand those spineless, no authority in the preacher at all. I like the preachers who, when they get up and preach, they bring the heat. They bring up the warm air. I like it when the preacher opens the Bible and preaches in a way that he comes in hot. He comes in hot over that cold ground in my heart. And you know what it's like to be in church on Sunday or Wednesday or in a revival effort like we've been having this week, and people to get up and sing, and the preacher to get up and preach, and for your heart to get warmed up. Do you know what that's like? Have you experienced any kind of warming and wetting this week?
Yes, sir.
You know anything about that at all? You know anything about that warm air of the Spirit hovering over there and just warming? You know what it's like when you leave church? I hope you know something about this. Just full of God in your heart. You just feel that warm air, and you feel that wet dew, and you're feeling good. But have you found by the next day your heart has cooled off real quick? Do y'all have a tendency like I do to cool off real quick?
Yes.
Has it not been your experience that you can come to church where the singing is hot and the preaching is hot and the warm air is blow and it warms you up, but you don't stay warm long, do you? Huh? If your heart is like mine, the soul begins to get cold quickly, and it begins to get dry very quickly, and it needs that warm, wet air of the Spirit of God on this cold ground for the production of the deep.
Amen.
Now I want you to see a sacrifice for those of you who want God to come up. I want you to see not only something about the production of the dew that is conditional on the dew point, I want you to see the provision of the dew that is continual. Number two, the provision of the dew that is continual. I want you to think with me how dew is different from rain, in that, as we noticed last night, rain is a seasonal thing. You don't get rain every day. You don't get rain every night. Certainly not over in the Holy Land, as we learned about last night. They got the rainy season. They got the periods where it rains. And then they've got those months after that rainy season where they enter into the dry season, and they don't get any rain at all until the rainy season comes along. That rain is seasonal, but the dew is different. The dew is a daily experience. See, when the Lord says, "I'll open up the heavens and I'll come down on you like rain," He's describing those times of revival that are momentous occasions, those great awakenings that are accompanied by the thunder and the lightning of the Lord and the rending of the heavens and the floods of the Spirit that come down in times of great awakening. Thank God for those rains. But I want to tell you, I've been saved for 34 years tonight. And over those 34 years, I've had two great awakenings. I've had two great revivals in my own life. Right. I'm telling you that twice in my 34 years, I have asked God to rend the heavens and flood my life with His rain, with His great reviving influence. And both of those revivals that God has sent to me have been powerful awakenings. Powerful movements of the Spirit of God in my life.
Amen.
But over 34 years, I've only got two great rains of revival. Two great downpours in my life. Okay? You look at church history, there were two great awakenings, a great reformation, and smaller scale revivals that took place periodically or seasonally throughout church history. So when the rain comes, that is a rare thing. That's just a seasonal thing. But see, the dew is different. The dew can be a daily experience. All you've got to have dew is some sunlight. If you get some sunlight during the day, if there is enough light during the day, there's going to be dew. It's not going to come with thunder and lightning and red heavens. It's going to come secretly and silently in the night. And you're going to wake up in the morning, and there's going to be that warm wet dew that is formed on the ground.
Amen.
What I'm trying to get you to see tonight is we need the rain of revival. We need a rending of the heavens and a coming down of God. We need a great awakening. We need mighty visitations of God in these days. And I don't know if that's going to happen here in Old Town, Chiefland, Stark, Florida, or Fulton, Mississippi. I don't know, but I'll tell you what I do know that we can have. We can have some dew every day.
Amen. Amen.
You ain't gonna get rid. rain every day. You ain't going to get a great awakening every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You ain't going to get a great awakening in a thunderstorm and the lightning and red heavens every time you schedule a meeting. But I'm going to tell you what, on the authority of the Word of God, I'm going to tell you what you can have every day of your life. You can have God do you up with some dude.
Amen. Amen.
Every day of your life, you can have some of that warm air of the Holy Spirit in your life, warming the ground back up, wetting up the ground back up with His doing influences on your life. All you got to have is some light. Y'all with me tonight?
Yep.
You don't just need a revival once or twice a year. On a Monday through Wednesday night with a special speaker, you need a revival every day of your life.
Amen.
Right.
See, this is what Paul's talking about. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I'll tell you what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4:16. He said, though our outward man perish, our inward man is renewed how often?
Daily.
Day by day. My inward man is renewed, and the word he used for renewed is revived. Paul said, my outward man is perishing. It is decay. My outward man is dying. But every day, my inward man experiences a revival.
Amen.
You don't just need two revivals a year. You don't just need a revival every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You and I need a revival in our heart every day.
Hallelujah.
Every day.
That's right.
So you don't need to leave here tonight and say, well, the revival meeting's over at me. You know, I'm okay, I guess. That's good while it lasted. You know, good to see all of the crowds. And, you know, good to hear a different preacher, some different things. That's all good. You need to wake up in the morning realizing that you need to be renewed tomorrow.
Yes. Hallelujah. Man.
You need to get up on Friday morning and say, right. God, revive me and renew me. Cause the warm air of the Spirit blow over the cooling ground in my heart. Warm me up. Wet me up with some dew today.
Yes. Man.
Why do you think Paul was praying over there in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16 that those Ephesian believers would be strengthened with might in their inner man by God's Spirit? I'm quoting our Bible now. Paul wanted those believers to be strengthened with might in their inner man by the Holy Spirit every day. Do y'all believe that's possible?
Yes.
Brothers and sisters, I believe in that.
Right.
I can tell you, I've only had two great rainstorms of spiritual revival in my own experience. But I can also tell you, I've had thousands of days in those 34 years where there is still a small voice in the warm air of the Spirit. I've been revived. I have been renewed. I have been renewed in my inner man.
Amen.
I've had two great revivals and thousands of little revivals.
Amen.
Daily revivals. Just those times in prayer or in the Word that you sense God warming up that cold ground in your heart and you hear that still small voice coming to you through the Word of God and you know that you've experienced the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
You know anything about that tonight?
Hallelujah.
I think a lot of people that I know and a lot of churches I'm in, they're waiting for the great thunderstorm. And if that great thunderstorm doesn't break out and a flood doesn't come, they feel like God ain't in it. God ain't doing anything. Nothing's happening. I'm in some churches, if there's not a great earthquake, if there's not some great tornado that comes, they don't think God's done anything. And I remember reading over there in 1 Kings 19, after Elijah had come down from Mount Carmel and went to Mount Horeb, that there was a great earthquake that took place when he was pouting and feeling sorry for himself. A great earthquake came over in 1 Kings 19 and said the Lord wasn't in it.
great tornadic wind blew there. The sky, the Lord wasn't in that either. Y'all with me? Great fire. But the Lord wasn't in that. How did God come? How did Elijah experience God in 1 Kings 19?
Still a small voice.
Experience God in a still small voice. There'll be some times in your life, at least there have been in mine, where I heard God hollering at me. Where I heard God speaking real loud and real clear. But there have been countless other numbers of times where I have heard God, where I have felt God and experienced God just through a still small moment.
Amen.
See, when that dew settles in the night, it's silent.
Right.
When that dew settles in the night, it just kind of settles secretly, and all you know is everything's got wet through this warm air.
Right.
You know anything about wheat? You need to get revived tomorrow and the next day and next week and the next.
Amen.
Whether or not God sends a great awakening, whether or not God sends a revival to America, Florida, Mississippi, this whole county or not, I'm telling you, you can have the dew every day of your life. God can
Amen.
Come to you as the dew.
Amen.
Amen.
Number one, the production of the dew is conditional. Number two, the provision of the dew is continual. It's continual. You can have it. And I'm going to tell you, you ain't gonna get it like this.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because number three, I want you to see lastly that the position of the dew is consequential. The position of the dew is very consequential. Notice in our text, the position of the dew. I want you to see from our verse, where does the dew come? Alright? Here's what it says. Verse number 5. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow, notice, as the lily. As the lily. And cast forth his roots as Lebanon. Verse 6. His branches shall spread. And his beauty shall be seen as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine. Are you with me? Verse 8, last phrase. I am like a green fir tree. Do you notice that God is describing where the dew comes? Where does the dew settle? You've seen it. You've seen it so many days in your life. You've seen this, and God is describing it. The dew comes to the lily. The dew comes to the trees. It comes to the branches. It comes to the leaves. That's where the dew comes. That's its position. That's where it settles. Notice that the dew only comes on that which is alive. It only comes on that that can have absorption. It only comes on that that can grow. It comes on that that has enough life and is soft enough for the dew to land.
Amen. Good.
He'll come to us as the dew on the lily, on the fir tree, on the corn. That's where the dew positions. You get up in the mornings, I don't know how it is in Florida, but I know how it is in Mississippi. You get up in the mornings and walk through your yard to the mailbox, walk through the yard to get your paper, and by the time you get back to the house, your shoes will be soaking wet. Of all the dew that's on the grass,
right.
All the dew that's on the trees and on the flowers. But have you ever noticed as soon as you hit that concrete sidewalk, there ain't no dew on that sidewalk? Mm-hmm. You ever notice when you get out there at the mailbox, you got your feet all wet, and you get out there at the mailbox at the road to the asphalt, there ain't no dew on the asphalt? No. You with me? That new light's on what has life. That dew does not light on that hard concrete and asphalt. It lights on that soft leaf, on that soft blade of grass. That's where the dew comes. You with me,
Ellen? Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
I want to tell you something tonight. The Spirit of God moves and lights on those who are truly saved, those who have true life and true growth in Christ. The dew of heaven settles there. As long as your heart is soft, the dew will light on you.
Amen.
But if you're hard-hearted, and you're arrogant and you're bitter, if your heart is like concrete and like asphalt, there ain't going to be no dew on you. But listen.
Amen.
I preach to preachers most nights of my life, deacons, singers, Sunday school teachers who are so hard, who are so arrogant, who think they're so much higher than everybody else there. And they never get any touch. They never get any influence from the Holy Spirit. Their heart is too up. They sit in every service just like, you ain't going to tell me that. You ain't going to teach me nothing in the Bible. Well, you're right. I ain't going to tell you nothing. And I ain't going to teach you nothing. And I'll tell you something else. You ain't getting no deal on you either.
That's right.
That dew don't light on asphalt and concrete. It lights on that soft ground where there's life. It lights on that grain. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
If you're unsubmissive and you're unresponsive in your heart, God can't do anything for you. If your heart is cold tonight, you can get the dew. God can do something for you. If your heart's cold, you are a prime candidate for revival. He can do you up tonight.
Amen.
If your heart is cold. If your heart is dry tonight, you are a prime candidate for revival. God can do you up. God can warm you and wet you. If your heart is dry, if you're here and you'd say, I'm cold tonight, you can have revival. If you're here and you say, I'm dry tonight, I need some of that dew on my life, you can have revival. I'm going to tell you, if you're hard, God can do nothing for you.
That's right.
There is something worse than being cold and being dry, and that's being hard. Being hard. I'm right. Everybody else is wrong. Y'all ain't going to make nobody gonna tell me nothing. Me and God's got our own thing going. You ain't getting no. Let's stand here.